Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narchries podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, The Blue, the Gray, and the Green Toward, An Environmental History of the Civil War, is an edited scholarly volume assembled by Brian Allen Drake that applies environmental history to one of the most heavily studied conflicts in United States history. Rather than treating the Civil War only as a political, military, or social crisis, the book asks how weather, disease, animals, soils, forests, agriculture, and regional landscapes shaped wartime experience and post-war memory. Its essays bring together Civil War history, military history, and environmental history, showing that nature was not merely a backdrop for human action, but an active condition within which armies marched, civilians labored, and societies adapted. The volume is not designed as a complete environmental survey of the war. It is better understood as a set of models for inquiry, demonstrating how scholars can reinterpret familiar events when ecological pressures, environmental knowledge, and changing ideas about nature are placed at the center of analysis. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, nature as an active force in Civil War causation and experience. A central contribution of the volume is its insistence that the natural world should be treated as a historical actor rather than a passive setting. Traditional Civil War interpretation often emphasizes commanders, strategy, slavery, politics, and ideology, while landscapes appear mainly as locations on maps. This book redirects attention to the material conditions that shaped what people could do. Climate influenced food production and the movement of armies. Disease limited the fighting capacity of soldiers and animals. Water, forests, mud, heat, and aridity affected decisions that might otherwise seem purely tactical. This perspective does not replace human responsibility or political explanation. Instead, it complicates them by showing that choices were made within environmental constraints. The approach is especially useful because the Civil War mobilized enormous numbers of people, horses, mules, crops, timber, and transportation networks across highly varied regions. By foregrounding these relationships, the volume gives readers a more grounded account of wartime reality, one in which military plans and political ambitions were repeatedly filtered through ecological conditions. Secondly, disease, climate, and terrain as military factors beyond the battlefield. Several essays show that environmental forces affected military outcomes in ways that cannot be captured by battlefield narratives alone. Disease is one of the most important examples. Crowded camps, poor sanitation, exposure, contaminated water, and the movement of troops created conditions in which illness could weaken armies even before formal combat occurred. The same logic applied to animals. Since horses and mules were essential to transport, cavalry, artillery, and supply, climate and terrain also shaped operational possibilities. Rain, drought, heat, and arid landscapes could limit mobility, reduce supplies, and influence morale. The discussion of the Civil War in the Southwest, including the environmental difficulties of campaigning in New Mexico, illustrates how geography and water scarcity could shape military failure. These arguments encourage readers to see campaigns as ecological events as well as strategic ones. Armies were biological and logistical systems embedded in specific environments. Their success depended not only on leadership and courage, but also on bodily endurance, animal health, weather, food, water, and the ability to interpret unfamiliar landscapes. Thirdly, changing ideas about nature before, during, and after the war. The book also examines the Civil War as a conflict that altered how Americans understood nature. Essays by contributors working on intellectual, cultural, and ideological questions explore how ideas about landscape, wilderness, improvement, destruction, and providence shaped wartime interpretation. This dimension matters because environmental history is not only about material conditions. It also concerns the meanings people attach to those conditions. Soldiers, civilians, politicians, and writers interpreted landscapes through inherited assumptions about civilization, progress, region, and moral order. War intensified these meanings. Devastated farms, scarred forests, ruined towns, and transformed battlefields became evidence through which Americans assessed sacrifice, punishment, renewal, and national destiny. The volume, therefore, connects environmental perception to broader Civil War culture. It asks not simply what nature did to the war, but how the war changed the language through which people described nature. This is important for understanding memory as well as events. Battlefields became landscapes of commemoration, but they were also ecological spaces altered by violence, agriculture, burial, tourism, and preservation. Fourthly, agriculture, labor, and ecological change from wartime disruption to reconstruction, the environmental history of the Civil War did not end with surrender. The volume pays attention to agricultural landscapes, labor systems, and ecological consequences that extended into Reconstruction. Wartime disruption changed production in regions such as tobacco country, where military occupation, labor instability, market shifts, and physical damage affected both land use and social relations. The essays also connect emancipation and post-war agriculture to ecological pressures. Soil exhaustion, fertilizer use, credit systems, and the search for productivity became part of the struggle to rebuild Southern society after slavery. This approach helped clarify why Reconstruction was not only a political and constitutional process, it was also an environmental and economic reorganization of land, labor, and resources. Former slaveholders, free people, merchants, and agricultural reformers all operated within landscapes already stressed by plantation agriculture and wartime destruction. By linking soil, debt, race, and production, the volume demonstrates that environmental conditions help shape the limits and possibilities of freedom. This gives post-war history a material depth often missing from accounts centered only on law, politics, or violence. Lastly, an experimental template for combining Civil War history and environmental history, the collection is especially significant as a methodological intervention. It does not claim to offer a single comprehensive interpretation of the environmental Civil War. Instead, it presents multiple ways of asking environmental questions. Some essays focus on non-human nature, including weather, disease, animals, and terrain. Others examine perception, ideology, and value. Still others study hybrid relationships in which human decisions and environmental systems cannot be separated, such as agriculture, soldier survival strategies, and landscape transformation. This variety is a strength because Civil War environmental history remains less developed than political, social, or military scholarship on the conflict. The volume shows how established subjects can be reopened through different evidence and different scales of analysis. A campaign can be read through water and disease. A region can be read through soil and production. A cultural text can be read through ideas about nature. The result is a practical intellectual toolkit. Readers see not only conclusions about the Civil War, but also examples of how historians can build environmental interpretation into subjects that once seemed fully explained. In conclusion, The Blue, The Gray, and The Green is best suited for readers who already have some interest in the Civil War, environmental history, military history, Southern history, or historical methodology. Specialists will find it valuable because it identifies neglected questions and demonstrates how environmental analysis can reshape familiar subjects. Graduate students and advanced undergraduates can use it as a model for designing research that crosses subfields without reducing history to a single cause. General readers with a strong interest in the Civil War may also benefit, although the book is more analytical than narrative. Its practical value lies in teaching readers to ask different questions. What did disease do to military effectiveness? How did climate and terrain influence command decisions? How did war transform landscapes, agriculture, and ideas about nature, compared with conventional Civil War books? This volume stands out because it does not center only on leaders, battles, politics, or emancipation, even though those contexts remain important. Compared with broad environmental histories, it is distinctive because it concentrates on a specific national crisis and shows how ecological factors operated inside military and social systems. Its greatest strength is its role as an opening framework. It makes the Civil War look less like a conflict fought on top of nature and more like one fought through nature. If you would like to support Brian Allen Drake, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.